Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, I want to welcome you to another program where I'm here to help you grow in your faith. Now, today I'm going to be reflecting on our prayer life. It's one of the most fundamental things that I often get asked about in my work in ministry as a Catholic theologian and speaking at events and retreats and conferences. It's how do I develop my prayer life? How do I grow in my prayer life? How do I improve my prayer life? It is such a challenging thing for so many Catholics to do that.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Today, that's what I'm here for. I've got 15 ways. That's right. 15 ways to improve your prayer life. Now, my expectation is that you're going to probably be able to check the box on many of these. Hopefully, it's confirming things that you're already doing. But maybe there'll be some insights around, maybe most of them. There'll be an insight there. But again, either way, the goal would be to help inform and encourage you around developing your prayer life and leave you with some takeaways, some things that you can do to grow in your life of prayer. So let's begin a time of teaching and sharing around that in the most important way, by actually praying. All right, so let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, thank you for the gift of our lives. Thank you for your desire to nurture in us a deep union, a relationship with you, Lord, that is marked by faith and hope and love, where we trust you and we have confidence in you and we delight in you. And so, Lord, give us the grace to grow and nurture that life of prayer. And Lord, give me the grace to speak well. Give me the grace to speak in a way that is a blessing to those who are participating with me, and Lord, just deepen our life of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, and we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I've got 15 ways to improve your prayer life. I'm going to be putting on my glasses during the time I look down at my notebook, but not wear them, because the way that the light reflects on the camera, it seems like that would be a bit of a burden. So helping you grow in your life of prayer. Okay, so what's the first way? 15 ways, so I'm gonna go fast. So the first way to help you improve your prayer life is to realize what's at stake in it, right? When you have a proper vision, when you understand what's at stake in your life of prayer, it just might, in fact, help motivate you to wanna pray some more. So what's at stake in our life of prayer? Well, I could quote some saints to give you some, like, a very high bar, right? St. Alphonsus de Liguori has probably the most, like, striking thing that I've heard come from the mouth of a saint around prayer, which is, the one who prays will certainly be saved. The one who does not pray will certainly be damned. For all those who are saved through prayer, and all those that are damned because they didn't pray. That's pretty strong. Like, what's at stake in prayer, in our prayer life? Well, heaven and hell. Gee, you can't get much bigger than that, or something that's a little bit softer, but still very meaty around, well, why do I want to pray? And again, realizing what's at stake in prayer. St. John of the Cross, he said, the one who flees prayer flees all that is good. The one who flees prayer flees all that is good. Okay, stop and think about that for a minute. And it's like, well, how can that be the case? Or how can that be the case that I'm somehow fleeing what is good if I'm not, like, praying and pursuing prayer? Well, what happens in prayer? Prayer is an expression of our communion and communication and connection with God. And so it's through connecting with God, through communing with God and communicating with the Lord our God, that all good things come to our lives. Well, you don't, he's not making that up, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, and every other thing will be given to you, added unto you, right? And that was in the section where it's like, oh, we worried about what are we going to eat or drink? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? How are our needs going to be taken care of? And, you know, these are good things that are necessary for our lives. And Jesus is saying, you know, seek first God. Seek first his kingdom, living in his realm, living under his protection and provision and guidance, right? That's that's what happens in prayer, is that we aren't just connecting and communicating and communing with God, but no, we're actually expressing in that relationship faith, hope, and love, our trust, confidence, and delight. That those are the modes of how we relate to God in prayer. And then on God's side, good things come pouring into our lives, the things that will help us to flourish in accord with his purpose and plan. So what's at stake in our life of prayer? What's really a motivating vision for us? Is that, well, you know what? It's basically human fulfillment in accord with God's plan. If I'm not praying, I'm not going to fulfill God's plan in my life, where I'm called to be a saint and I have a God-given mission, excuse me, for my life here on earth. So that's the first reason to pray, is that my life here and my life hereafter will achieve the fulfillment that God intends for me. I'll realize God's vision for my life, the very reason why I've been created, by praying. So that's a good enough reason to pray. But then you can also just reflect on your own experience of prayer, right? Come on now. If you're a praying person, what do you realize? You realize the really big difference, fundamental difference that happens in our day-to-day lives when we get up and we start our day with prayer. We start our day communing with God, communicating with God, being in contact with the Lord our God, right? That it grounds us in a sense of peace. It makes us feel a sense of strength. It gives us a clear vision for approaching our day, where we're able to surrender and trust. We're able to lean on the Lord as we go through our day, versus when we don't, right? We go from that sense of peace and tranquility to what? To a kind of frenzy. And so we don't have to go much further than our own lived experience of to realize the difference of when we take time and, excuse me, when we make prayer the priority versus when we don't. And that, so just, you don't even have to go further than your own authentic experience of life, praying or not praying. Okay, so that's the first one. What's the second one? What's the second way to improve our lives besides realizing what's at stake in it? The second way is to do what St. Thomas Aquinas said when he was asked by a brother Dominican, what do I need to do to become a saint? And the answer is, will it? Will it? So there is a way in which we will grow in our prayer by making what the catechism calls a determined effort, right? So do we grow in prayer? Do we improve our prayer life through God's gift of grace or through human effort, through a determined effort? The answer is yes. God is, without God's grace, we're not going to grow in prayer, but God's grace is going to stir within us and motivate us to make a determined effort. But here's the distinction I want you to hold on to. When prayer is associated with a commitment rather than just a choice, when I make a commitment to pray, then I will find that it is easier to pray than if I have to wake up the next day and then, am I going to make the choice to pray or not pray? And later on, I'm going to talk about the power of community when you'll improve your life of prayer by making commitments, that determined effort to pray, willing it, and not just relying on a day-to-day choice. Because I can have a weakness of will when it comes to the reality of a daily prayer life. So that's a second way to improve my life of prayer. The third, well, let's be practical now. Okay, I've got that determined effort to pray. Now be practical. Plan. When am I going to pray? Ask that question. And so what I would recommend is the night before,
before you go to bed, say to yourself, when am I going to pray tomorrow? Now, eventually prayer will become a habit, right? So if you make it a habit to pray first thing in the morning, that's going to be one of my next ones, is pray first thing. But plan a time that is set apart for prayer. And make that plan like solidified. Okay, so I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray, and then have a backup time. So have a backup time if the first time that you had planned on falls through. So you want to improve your prayer life? Have a plan. And that plan is, this is what I'm praying tomorrow. But if that falls through, here's my backup plan. And then you have the ultimate safety net, which is, I'll pray the last thing. The last thing I'll do in my day is pray. So if you can't do what's ideal, which is making it your first thing, well, make sure that you have a backup plan of when you would do it. So your backup plan might be, well, during lunchtime or on my way home from work or from school, or I'll do it before I get access to like a show, if I'm going to watch something on social media, etc. And then at the ultimately, it'll be the last thing you do. So plan to pray. Okay. Ideally, in our Catholic faith, a way to improve our prayer life is to pray first. That would be my fourth recommendation to improve your prayer life, is to pray as the first thing you do in your day. And there's a powerful reason, theological reason, to do that. That is, it is the most fundamental and highest priority relationship in your life. Your first and most important and highest priority relationship that you have in your life is with God. And so make God your priority in your day. And the simple way to do that is pray as the first thing that you do. And I will often hear people will say, that's really difficult for me because I get up so early to go to work. And what I'm going to say to them is, whatever time you have to get up, no matter how early it is that you've got to get up to go to work, get up earlier and include that prayer time before that time of work. Well, I can't do that because I'll be so tired. Oh, that's right. Remember that planning? That might be true if you're going to bed at the same time. But if it's your priority to make God the relationship that's first in your life, well, then I'm going to prioritize my sleeping around my ability to make prayer the first thing that I do in my day. Now, I am going to just share this, that I won't get into the forms of prayer much in this, pray intercessory prayer, pray prayers of praise, pray prayers of thanksgiving, right? But I will mention that in passing, but that's almost a different reflection than I'm offering here. But I will say this. If you're going to pray the first thing in the day, do a morning offering. And this morning offering can take a Trinitarian form, a form that is associated with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in each of these persons of the Trinity can be associated with a simple statement that makes up a morning offering. So when you get up in the morning to have a prayer time, include the morning offering. And the morning offering, the way that I was taught, you can pray a traditional prayer that is a morning offering, but however it is you're going to pray a morning offering, include these three key ideas. The first idea is addressed to the Father. Oh God, you are God and I am not. That gets things right. If you're going to be addressing the Lord in prayer, you want to get the foundation of that relationship correct. God, you are God, and I am not. That's the first sentiment. So it acknowledges God is God over your life. Boy, is that going to improve your prayer life? Yeah, that's going to get first things first. It's going to put God on the throne and the lordship in your life to determine how it is you're going to live. Second, that you will say, Lord, this is my heart's desire. And so that's coming to Jesus. And that's revealing to him the depths of your heart. Lord, this is what I truly desire for my life, for my loved ones. And so it's opening your heart to him. This is something that isn't just natural. It's something that you can form in yourself and in those you love. Teach your kids how to open your heart to the Lord, how to pour out your heart, the things that are there in him. And so do that first thing. You're carrying anxiety, worry, concerns, problems, sufferings, pour those out, speak those out loud. And then the third thing is, you speak to the Holy Spirit, shepherd me and I'll follow you. Prompt me in the way I should go and I will yield to you. I give you permission, O Lord. And so a morning offering, acknowledging God is God and you're not, revealing your heart's desire to the Lord and praying that prayer of docility or yielding and that willingness to be led. So pray first thing. So that's my fourth way. That's my fourth recommendation of prayer.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Fifth is have a space for prayer. Have a place that's set apart, right? So not only have a time that's set apart, the first part of your day, right? That's setting that time apart for the Lord and for that relationship with Him. Let that plan also include a place for prayer. And I do want to encourage you to create a space in your home that is the space where you pray. And the reason is that you'll end up building what's called a fund of experience, a fund of experience as you take time to pray in that same space day after day after day. It will become invested with this memory and these experiences that in this space, I communicated with the Lord. I had that contact with God. I had a sense of communing with the Lord here. And honestly, what does that also do? It gives you a chance to create in that space holy pictures, holy objects, statues. You can have your Bible or other books of prayer. And so it becomes a set apart space, a sacred space in your home. So I encourage you to do that. Let it be not the space that has a TV in it. Right. And almost it's almost more important to say, you know, don't have your phone active in that space. Right. Unless somehow you're using it in your prayer so that it doesn't become a distraction. So have a space set apart for prayer. So that's the fifth way to improve your life of prayer. And then I could also say, in addition to that, have a space outside the home, a chapel. Right? A church that you know is open, where you can go and be in a sacred space, a space that's set apart for God, consecrated to the Lord. And there's a tabernacle, and so the presence of the Lord. Again, the very architecture and art of that holy space can be something that is inspiring and fostering prayer for you. It might be where you go to Mass. And then in addition to that, an adoration chapel. I would really encourage you to find an adoration chapel that you can access. And so it's a place where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. And if you are able to, you're able to go and be in the presence of the Lord in that beautiful experience of adoration. And so again, have a space for prayer in the home, have a church that you go to, and then oftentimes it's not going to be in your local church where there is an adoration chapel. Find a nearby adoration chapel that you can also go to as a place of special communion, communication, and connection with the Lord Jesus. So that's your fifth way to grow in your relationship. The sixth is pray on the way. Pray on the way. You want to improve your prayer life? Take advantage of opportunities that come in the midst of your daily life. So for instance, when you're driving, especially if you're driving by yourself, take that time to pray a rosary. So that's what I would routinely do. So if I'm driving a long distance, like if I was driving several hours because I had some engagement professionally, I would take the first hour and I would pray the 20 decades of the rosary. And that was a beautiful habit, a custom that grew in me. And so it wasn't like I had to oh, am I going to have to go through this again? No, it was just, oh, I'm on the way someplace. I'm going to be a half an hour. Well, great. Well, let me start with the rosary. And so for me, it was a rosary that was the go-to default way that I would pray when I was on the way. Maybe that's not going to be the way that will be most attractive to you. Maybe instead it will be you put on a type of music, sacred music, that will help foster in you prayerfulness. Maybe it's praise and worship music. Maybe it's more traditional sacred music. Whatever it is, let the music be something that stirs you to pray. And the one who sings prays twice. So certainly that's a way to pray as well. You might also just pray intercessory prayers, right? So pray for your loved ones, family members, people that have situations of need that you've promised to pray for. Use the time of your journey. I will add in a little asterisk to this, and that is, I put the emphasis here when you're driving by yourself, when you're on the way by yourself, but there's no good reason why that also can't include your family. And so that, again, was a custom in our home with our kids growing up that they knew if we were taking a ride that was going to last, say, an hour, that we were going to give the first 20 plus minutes praying a rosary as a family. And you know what? You know, they knew quite quickly that this was the custom and that there was no use fighting it. They gave themselves over to it. Even if there was a bit of grumbling, they would do it. And so this is something that you can build into your own life of your family life. Same can be true with music. My wife loves to put on sacred music as we're driving to church on Sundays or we're going to a time of prayer. Putting on that music helps dispose us to pray better when we are actually at that place of prayer, whether it's Mass or adoration or some other prayer event that we're going to. Okay. Let's keep moving. So today, what am I doing? I'm sharing with you 15 ways to improve your prayer life. I'm covering a lot of ground here, and I'm actually already at number 7. I'm halfway done. I love this. I'm doing well. This is great. All right, number 7, read scripture. So read scripture. I'm going to focus on two forms of reading scripture, right? It's important to say out loud, when you pray using scripture, it's not just like reading spiritual reading, even the words of saints. It's the word of God. And when you read the word of God prayerfully, it has such power to enlighten you and strengthen you and encourage you, put courage into you, to give you an experience of the Lord's healing power. His words will heal you. His words will wash away like fear and anxiety. His word will name your condition in a way that will help you realize that he sees you and knows you and is doing something about it. And so I mentioned two different ways that scripture can be part of your life of prayer. And I have props for this. First one is Liturgy of the Hours. So this is the volume 4 of the Liturgy of the Hours. And so when I pray in the morning, I will open it up and I will pray Office of Readings. So that's the Word of God as it's been incorporated into the official prayer of the church. So one way that I come into contact in my own personal prayer time is through the scriptures that are part of the Liturgy of the Hours. And the Liturgy of the Hours has a special theological and spiritual meaning because the one who is the principal agent of prayer in the Liturgy of the Hours is Christ the priest. Christ the great high priest is the one who is the principal agent of all liturgical prayer, including the Liturgy of the Hours. And so you get drawn in as a member of the body of Christ in the church's life of prayer by praying the Liturgy of the Hours. So I find that to be a very powerful way to pray, and in improving your life of prayer, include the Liturgy of the Hours. Now, you're not going to be able to include them all for most of you. And so it would be typical to say, Hey, you know what? If you're praying at the beginning of the day, maybe you pray the invitatory psalm and the office of readings. Or maybe you would pray what's called the hinge hours. Maybe you'd pray morning prayer, that first of the hinge hours. The other one's evening prayer, or lauds and vespers. And so maybe you do that. And so I know that there are different like prayer books that come out on a monthly basis, like Magnificat, that will give you morning prayer for the days of the month. Or maybe you do, and this is something that I also do as our part of our family prayers, pray night prayer, Compline. It's a shorter prayer. It typically involves one psalm, maybe two, but typically it's one, and then there's a gospel canticle. And my kids will probably pray that once a week as a family, as one of the evenings of night prayer. And my kids actually enjoy it. All right. And then the second way of incorporating the Word of God into your life of prayer is Scripture. Have a Bible. So this is my Bible. I've prayed with this Bible for 38 years, about 38 years. This comes from back in the 1980s. This is the third cover on my Bible. It's actually falling apart a bit. But it's such a gift to me to be able to continue to pray with this Bible, this Word of God, and this sacred Scripture. And the reason is this, is that even though, for instance, it's an older version of the New Testament, that it's been updated since this one came out, that's okay. Because I have so many, memories invested in the Scriptures, that it goes back to, it was actually even before then. It was like 1985, 1984. This Bible goes back to, because I have notes in here that I know go back to 1986, 1987, pretty extensive notes that I've written and things I've underlined in these Scriptures, in this Bible. And so I'm able to draw on not only the Word of God, but my interaction with the Word of God, because I have a Bible. So I encourage you to get a Bible, and a Bible that you can write in, for the reasons that I just shared, that it'll help improve your spiritual life, because the invested memories and experiences and encounters with the living God, with the heart of Christ in the Scriptures, have another layer of experience, because it's in the same Bible that I'm carrying with me into this prayer time. So, all right, let's continue on. I encourage you as well to write reflections. And that means have a notebook or a journal, right? So that would be, you want to improve your prayer life, have a journal. Here's my journal right here. And so these reflections are actually in my journal. And so why did I even come up with this theme? This theme came up because of being at Mass this morning. I had this reflection on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we pray that in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. No, sorry. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I began to say, wait a minute, what's heaven? What happens in heaven? Well, I see the Lord face to face. I'm in this perfect, intimate, profound, life-giving communion with the Lord in heaven. Well, wait a minute. On earth, as it is in heaven, where do I on earth have vital, vibrant, life-giving, profound, intimate, personal contact with the living God? It's prayer. And so it made me think, oh, what do I do to improve my prayer life? How do I make my life on earth more an expression of my life of heaven? And that was in my journal. So it was in my journal this morning when I went to Mass at 7 in the morning. And as I was pondering today, well, what am I going to share about with you? It was, oh, let me reflect on ways to improve your prayer life. That will be a great blessing. So that's how this is even happening, because of my journaling. One of the gifts of journaling, one of the fruits of journaling, is that you hear better. Did you get that? One of the fruits of journaling is it'll improve your spiritual hearing. Because if you're journaling in a way that's reflective, what you're reflecting on is what you're sensing that the Lord is stirring in you. You're reflecting on what the Lord is communicating to you. So in a certain sense, journaling is about writing down what I am hearing, sensing. I'm not hearing a word, like an audible word, but I'm sensing that the Lord is communicating something to me. And so in journaling, attempting to articulate that is actually a powerful way to grow in my own sense of discernment, sensing the Lord's presence, his nudges, and what he's communicating to me. It's a powerful way to improve your prayer life. So that's number 8. Okay, number 9 of these 15, incorporate silence, right? If you're going to journal, if you're going to read the scriptures, if you're going to have a time of morning prayer, then fundamental to prayer isn't only my communication with the Lord, but shouldn't it also be the Lord's communication to me? And if the Lord's communicating to me, then my mode of communication, of interacting, is that of listening. And so listening involves essentially being still, being silent. And I want to say, in the current moment in which we live, the being swindled out of silence, being robbed of times of silence, is a huge factor. It's a huge deal. And so I really want to encourage you in your time of prayer to incorporate times of silence. And I want you to think of growing in your capacity to be silent as something that will increase over time. You may not be very good at it at the beginning, because your mind starts to wander when you stop thinking intentionally. And then all of a sudden thoughts come in to distract me. But over time, you will learn how to be still in an environment that around you is quiet. And eventually, you'll become quiet in an interior way. Now, being quiet in that interior way, guess what, can then eventually happen even when you're in environments where there is noise. You will eventually become quiet in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, even in the midst of noisy environments. That's a beautiful fruit, and it's a very powerful way to improve your life of prayer. Okay, so we're walking through these 10. The first was what? Reflecting on what's at stake in prayer. The second was to commit to it, to will it, and don't just have to make choices every day. The third way to improve your prayer was what? It was to plan to pray. What am I praying tomorrow? What's my backup time? And then what's my safety net praying at the end of the day? The fourth way is to pray first thing in the morning. Make the Lord who is your first and most important relationship, make the Lord your first priority. Fifth was have a space for prayer in your home. Have a church that you can go to, and then find an adoration chapel. Number 6, pray on the way. So we take advantage of the times that you're in the car alone or with your family, and use that time as well to pray. And number 7 was read the scriptures. And I focused on two forms, the Liturgy of the Hours, as well as reading the Bible as part of your time of prayer. I'm going to talk about Mass later. Don't worry, we'll get there. Because, of course, Mass is full of scripture and scriptural references. Okay. Number 8 was write reflections in a journal, right? So they're using a journal, not just that. And then number 9 was incorporate silence. And that leads to number 10. Number 10 is you can walk in silence as well as sit in silence. And I'm going to say walk in nature. So if you've been following my channel recently, you know that I've walked the Camino. And one of the things that grew in me both prior to and getting ready for the Camino, that 500-mile walk across northern Spain, was learning to walk at a pace of life that was natural and opened me to the supernatural. And walking in nature also had a beautifully refreshing and cleansing aspect, because nature isn't just nature, it's creation. And creation doesn't just involve stuff, it involves a creator. And in our tradition, that creator has left footprints on what he's created. And if you have the sensitivity to it in your mind and your heart, you become opened to recognize that the Lord is present in and communicates through that which he has created. And so walking about in nature in accord with that pace of life that doesn't stretch you and make you like breathing heavy and this is like a big workout. No, you can do a prayerful walk in nature as a way of continuing to like become cleansed from the negative impacts of all of the technology that surrounds us and all of the man-made stuff that can distract us, gets us closer to the Lord, who is the creator of nature. So I encourage you to take a walk in a way that's also an activity of prayer. Okay, next, number 11. So utilize the sacraments, right? Don't just utilize what God has created in nature, but what has God provided in supernature, in the supernatural realm. And in the supernatural realm, the Lord is not only blessing us with graces, but is communicating his own divine life to us. And so, of course, you want to improve your prayer life, access two of those sacraments that are really part of our daily discipleship that are going to give us grace for our journey. Not just grace, but again, the supernatural life of God, daily mass and frequent confession, right? So frequent confession, what does that mean? Well, what's your own situation in life? Can it be every month? Can it be every 2 months? I would encourage you to like not let it stretch much beyond 2 months into 3 months. The graces of healing and strength and that comes from accessing confession, even when it's quote unquote only to receive forgiveness from venial sins. There's such great spiritual power for us there. It'll definitely improve our spiritual life. It'll make us sensitized in conscience to sin and to the reality of God. But then going to Mass, right? So how frequently can we access Mass? Now, some of you are living in places where it's not easily accessible. For many more of us, I think it's accessible, but it has to be intentional. And that means we might have to make sacrifices to be able to access Mass on a regular basis, even as frequently as daily. I know for some that is not practical at all and would be extraordinary to be able to make it to daily Mass. But I think for many others of us, we could if we really set our mind to it, our heart to it, and said, I want what is the source and summit and center of my life of faith to be a part of my daily life. You want to improve your prayer life? Make it to Mass as frequently as you can. As frequently as you can, even to daily Mass. All right. Number 12. Include penance. You want to improve your prayer life? Do some fasting. Do some acts of self-denial. It's amazing because if I just took fasting, this is a really, again, this is simple, I'll be quick about it. When you deny the flesh, you're going to be opening up the spirit. So when we fast, what are we doing? We're denying the flesh, and not even just the flesh, we could also be denying like a bodily hunger. And when we say no to our bodies or the fleshly dimension of our bodies, that fallen dimension, it is opening, and we're doing so for the sake of our relationship with the Lord, we're going to have emerge into our awareness the hunger we have for the Lord, the thirst we have for union with God, not on bread alone as man to live, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. We will find ourselves hungering spiritually for deeper union, communion, communication, connection with the Lord. So include some penance and in its various forms, or fasting is, again, the easiest one to think of, in order to dispose myself for deeper prayer, prepare myself for an encounter with God. By the way, those were two of the fruits of fasting and penance in a document written by Pope Paul VI after the Second Vatican Council on penitence, that fasting disposes us for deeper prayer and prepares us for an encounter with God, referencing the scriptures in the Old Testament. Not only does it do that, but it also creates in us that sense of communion with Jesus as the one who fasted. Okay, next, number 13. So I'm doing 15, right? And I'm moving along here, which is awesome. And so I only have three others. Pray with others. Pray with others. I referenced this early on, that when we pray and we make a commitment to prayer, we're going to find ourselves improving our prayer life. And I'm now taking the other side of that coin, because sometimes the commitment isn't, I'm going to set my alarm and I'm committed to get up every day to do this novena, or to be faithful to this interior promise I made to the Lord. But when you commit to pray with others, it will help improve your prayer, because it will sometimes, again, get you out of bed or get you out of the house and get you away from the easy access to entertainment and other things that, in fact, you are allowing to crowd prayer out, right? I don't think we are that quick to drive out prayer from our lives. I do think that we crowd out prayer. And when we're crowding out prayer, we're crowding out that relationship with the Lord. And boy, I don't think we want to say that out loud, right? I'll say this now and again as one of those, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but who do you not want to be in heaven? You don't want to be the innkeeper that didn't make room for Mary to give birth to Jesus in the inn. You don't want to be that guy who looked St. Joseph in the eyes, the Blessed Mother in the eyes, about to give birth, and said, I got no room for you here. There's no room for you to come in. Don't want to be that guy. yet, are we that guy? Am I crowding out Jesus from being born more fully into my day, into my job, into my relationships? And so one of the ways to help overcome that is to establish relationships that are there specifically because of prayer. Join a prayer group. Join a Bible fellowship. Again, commit to get up early with a bunch of guys to go meet at the church and pray. These are ways to utilize praying with others as a way of growing in your prayer. Oh, by the way, you want to improve your prayer life. This will overflow into improving your other relationships. If you're married, you pray with your wife or your husband, right? So introducing ways that will be, I'm going to use a real human word, successful, right? Set yourselves up for success. Right? So what would be a way that you and your husband or you and your wife would find mutually enriching and beneficial to pray? And so, for Carrie and me, Carrie loves praise and worship, so I'll often join her in that form of prayer. I'm more contemplative, so I enjoy more praying in silence. And so I will include her more in, say, praying with scripture. And we can have a time of silence as part of us reading and reflecting and then sharing about what's the Lord saying to us in scripture. So it really can be a matter of what is a suitable form of prayer for you to pray with your spouse. I would say probably the biggest default for us is the rosary. So praying the rosary together while we're driving in the car, while we're walking together, or while we're in the house. And that's often with our family. And so, you know, the family that prays together stays together. Father Peyton, right, the famous rosary priest. How many saints talk about these great blessings and promises that come from praying a family rosary together, the protection, the provision, the guidance that the Lord comes and provides to us through praying a rosary together. And that really is about family prayer, right? So when I say pray together with others, I would say you can use it in sort of a like a targeted way, like a bullseye. Like the bullseye would be you're praying with your wife or your husband. Then it's like you're praying with your family. So that's like that next ring out. And then it could be for sure, you're praying with others. The fellowship that you have with brothers and sisters in Christ that are prayerful people that are going to support and encourage and hold you accountable to a life of prayer. We're not meant to try to figure this stuff out all on our own. And so I want to encourage you to stop and to think and say, all right, I want to do a better job of praying with my spouse, but my spouse isn't really in on this. My spouse is not open to it. If that's your situation, then you take time in prayer to pray for your spouse. And I'm sure you're doing that, but that would be something that you can maybe elevate and escalate and just say, Lord, you know, I would love to have more time of prayer with my spouse. Same is true with your family, right? It's not going to be easy. It'll be awkward at first. It'll be difficult. You'll fail at it. But occasionally you'll be spiritually attacked. All those things are true, but none of those things are good enough reasons to not do family prayer. So one of the big things that Kerry will always be saying about us is we have to pray early enough. We have to pray family prayer early enough so that it doesn't fall into either emergency mode, like I can't do it, I've got homework I still have to get done, or a paper I'm trying to write, or it's you didn't do your chore, so you can be in the other room, like doing the dishes or doing some other chore that was yours. Or a big deal for Kerry is, well, the kids are getting to bed too late and she's too tired. You know, I don't do well after a certain hour at night, and so we have to pray earlier. And so earlier just might be right after dinner. Like before everyone scatters, let's pray. Let's pray now while it's still early enough. We'll be done with our prayer. You can then attend to your homework or the other obligations that are yours. And so just, again, that would be an encouragement. Praying with others. Number 14, there are just two left. Number 14 is pray with saints. Right, don't just pray with others that are here around you in this world, but look to the saints. Look to the saints to be a heavenly source of support and encouragement and accountability. And so for me, you can pray with saints and have reminders that the saints are with you. And so that's everything from, once again, holy images in your house or statues, icons. It would be the spiritual reading that you're doing. And so those great saints can become your intercessors. Of course, it's going to be patron saints. So your name saint. It can be the saint of the day that is in the church's liturgical calendar. Your guardian angel, right? Call upon your guardian angel to exercise his God-assigned mission for your life. Guardian angel, I give you permission. Please pray for me, pray with me, guide me, provide for me, protect me and my family. Family guardian angel, right? Join us in prayer. Pray for us. And so this will be calling upon heavenly intercessors. I, for years, would just have them written down on the inside cover of my Liturgy of the Hours. But that page actually fell out. And so it was all the saints that I would be calling upon to pray for me. And then family members who had died or who were in difficult circumstances, priests that I was praying for, and then other categories of people, right? So those that are near to death and far from God and things like that. But leaning on heavenly intercessors was a powerful way for me to draw upon that sense of community support, but in this instance, the support of heaven. And you know, you will find a beautiful fruit of this in terms of improving your prayer life, you'll find that you'll get a sensitivity, a spiritual sensitivity, that you will come to know that those beloved, preferred saints that you're most drawn to, that you feel the deepest connection to, you'll get a sense that they actually know you in heaven. They are praying for you in heaven. It's not just some generic, the saint in heaven is saying, Lord, you know all the people that are calling upon me right now and asking me to pray for them. Lord, take care of them. It's not like that. It's so much more personal, where you'll have this sense that St. Catherine of Siena knows you. St. Francis of Assisi is lovingly gazing upon you and is bringing you to the Lord in accord with what the Lord's will is for your life, and is using that vessel to communicate blessings to you. That will improve your prayer life. Okay, 15th, the last one. Okay, so we talked about having places to pray, right? So your standard places, your home, your church, and an adoration chapel. We talked about having connections to people that are going to help you be committed to pray, right? Your family, and then other friends, and then heavenly friends. My last recommendation is make trips to holy places, holy shrines. So growing up outside of Boston, we would go to Our Lady of La Salette Shrine. And it was, I don't know, 45 minutes away. But I have these beautiful memories as a family going there. And then when I had this awakening of faith, I would go there to pray. And there was a, you know, sort of a beautiful alcove of Our Lady of La Salette in the visionaries there. And it would be beautiful. We'd go there for a mass or go there for prayer or for confession. And they had a big, beautiful grounds to walk around and could pray a rosary or the Stations of the Cross, or just take private time to pray. And then there was a big bookstore, right, where we would get holy medals. We'd get them there. And so I just have a beautiful, like, just memory of that nearby shrine. And then I had, again, the wonderful gift of being able to live in Rome and had a chance to visit shrines. So been able to go to Fatima, to go to Lourdes, and then obviously many beautiful but lesser shrines that are part of the history of Europe. And so just even places where saints were buried became places of holy visitation. I mentioned like St. Catherine of Siena, so going to Siena, or St. Francis of Assisi, going to Assisi, and so many other places like that that I would seek out. So make it a pilgrimage. Make it a trip to invest in going to a place specifically as an expression of your desire to grow in your prayer. So there we go. So 15 ways to improve your prayer life. Running through them again real quickly. The first one was recognize what's at stake in prayer. It's heaven and hell. It's achieving your mission in life. The second way is committing to it, that it's grace, but it also takes a determined effort, so says the Catechism. The third is to pray first, plan to pray. Make sure you have a plan of when you're going to pray. Fourth is pray first thing in the morning and do that morning offering. God is God, I'm not. Lord, this is my heart's desire. Shepherd me, Lord, and I'll follow. The fifth is to have a space for prayer in your home, at a church, in an adoration chapel. Sixth is pray while you're on the way. So whenever you're driving around, do that. Find that place to pray. Seventh is read the scriptures, whether it's have your own Bible, Liturgy of the Hours. Eighth is write down reflections. Have a journal. That'll be a way to grow in prayer. Number nine is incorporate silence into your time of prayer. Number 10 is take walks in nature, because it's creation, and you'll sense the presence of the Creator in his great work of art. Number 11 is incorporate the sacraments, of course, daily Mass as much as you can, as well as confession. Number 12, include fasting or penance as a way of helping to grow in prayer. Number 13 is to pray with others. Number 14 is to pray with the saints, and number 15 is to visit holy places. All right. I hope and pray that that was a blessing to you. 15 ways to improve your prayer life. You can leave comments for me about what other topics you'd like me to cover. I would love to hear from you. Again, you can always connect with me on this platform by subscribing or following me and get notifications of when I do this again tomorrow. All right. God bless you all. Thanks for joining me.